introducing Jason Lockhart from All American Bikini Car Wash, and I want to welcome you to upcoming discs. How you doing, Jason?
I'm good, Gino. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. And you play the character Vex in All American Bikini Car Wash. Can you tell me first, how did you get to this movie? What brought you here?
I was submitted through the breakdown site to the casting notice and got called in to meet Rob, the director, and we hit it off right away. And he wanted to actually meet with me anyways because I had done a movie called Casting Couch, which
right.
was called kind of also like a college team sex comedy. And he had a lot of questions about that project and how it went. He saw that it was available in a lot of good outlets, and he just kind of wanted to pick my brain. So it was a good meeting from the beginning.
Yeah, and Vex is a little bit of an oddball character. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Sure. He's a horn dog. He likes every girl that he comes in contact with. He's also a troublemaker, though. He owes money to the mob.
Right.
For who knows what. And he's just kind of always living on the edge without any real plans for the future.
Yeah, and these mobster guys are kind of a little bit weird and crazy, too. I wouldn't say they're very scary, but tell me a little bit about your interaction with those guys.
Well, I owe them money, and they come looking for me and threaten to basically pop my head off if I don't give them the money that I owe them. And, the camera angles are always shooting up at their faces.
Yes.
I mean, it's scarier, I suppose. And, always angled down on me, so... They're the tougher ones in the situation.
Right. Now, I hear from talking to other people with the movie that there was a lot of camaraderie on the set, that you guys kind of stayed a little close afterwards. Is that true with you? Did you get to hang out with a lot of the people here?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was great because we shot in Vegas for a while.
Right.
And we all stayed in the same casino, and that just kind of helped bond everybody. I'm still really good friends with Jack. We talk pretty much on a weekly basis, and I just went hiking the Hollywood Hills a couple weeks ago.
Ah.
So we're really close still.
Now, did you know him before the movie at all?
I didn't, but we were both familiar with each other's work, so that was kind of cool. There was some mutual respect going into the project.
So what did you guys do anything in particular to kind of build any kind of bond, to kind of show that chemistry that you guys have on screen together?
I was the only actor that took my own car to Vegas. Everybody else kind of had to take this like shuttle van to and from set every day.
Right.
And I told him I had a little two-seater, and I was like, "Hey, man, if you want to ride with me, we don't have to take the shuttle every day." And I think that was kind of the beginning of us being pals and kind of ignoring Marvin, the other actor.
And well, that helped a lot with the on-screen stuff, right? I mean, it gave you guys a chance to kind of, show that little friendship that goes on the movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I'm going to ask you what's really a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And I have to ask you, what was it like working with all those beautiful bikini girls?
Oh, obviously it was fantastic. But what was great is we all just kind of got along, and everybody knew what we were doing was meant for fun. We weren't trying to make an Oscar-winning movie. We were trying to just provide some entertainment for people.
Mm-hmm.
And going into it having fun, we hoped that would kind of translate across through the screen into a good time for anybody that watches it.
Right. Now, you're a director as well. You both write and direct. And so how was it working with Nimrod here for this movie? I mean, was it different being a director who knows that side of the camera?
It actually helps me as an actor because I know how professional I need to be because we're always moving quickly and I know where the camera is and I can kind of see the edit in my head.
Right.
And it was cool. He was always open to suggestions, letting me throw things out there. And sometimes my suggestions were dumb and didn't work, and sometimes they were helpful.
Yeah.
So it was nice that we had a mutual respect there.
Well, and talking about that on the set and such, when you're doing a low-budget film like this, there's not a whole lot of time. You've got to kind of move all the time and get things done. So did that create a different environment for you? Was that something you're used to? Is that something that was hard for you?
I have worked on a really wide variety of budget levels.
Right.
And I feel really comfortable in these set ultra-low-budget levels, which is, a movie kind of under $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how fast it is, and you have to really be focused and have fun, and it's kind of a challenge to be as creative as you want to be with that given set of financial and time parameters.
Mm-hmm.
But I still thrive in that environment. I really enjoy it, actually.
Well, so what do you enjoy most about it? What's the real fun part about being on that kind of film?
It's like a run and gun kind of thing. It's like, yeah, it's like doing an art project with my fraternity brothers and a bunch of sorority girls in college. Mm-hmm. Like you only have so much time and so much money. You just got to make something happen. And you got a due date.
Yeah,
you get it done. And that's what's kind of exciting about it, as opposed to so much professionalism and paperwork and all the stuff that goes into the bigger budget projects and the hype and the stress.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the
stress is time and money instead.
Well, sure, exactly. And what about limitations? Is there something on this film that you guys had hoped you would have been able to do, but the budget just didn't let you do it?
Not that I can think of offhand. I mean, you always want more time for more takes.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we were able to tell the story that Nimrod wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that if we would have had another two takes of every single line of dialogue, it would have been a whole lot different.
Well, it seems working on a film like this, especially, you know, these independent films, it's more like theater than making a movie. Did you find that to be true?
I did, and especially working with him, because he kept telling me he wanted bigger, he wanted zanier, you know, can't go too far.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of the other work I had done previously, I was really trying to hone it in, and because I have a theatrical background.
Sure.
And to be as believable as possible with this, he didn't really want that that kind of believability that I'd been striving for.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted crazy, wild fun. So I got to just kind of let loose and hopefully gave him what he wanted, you know.
Well, and that's what we've talked about a lot with the people on this film, is one of the things that I like about the movie is that it doesn't make any pretensions. A lot of independent filmmakers think, you know, want to believe they're out there making Shakespeare, they're making something that's, you know, just so socially impactful, whereas you guys are just making something fun. It's all in the title, there's no pretensions, you know what you're getting going into the movie, and it seems like that's the attitude you guys had on the set trying to create it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We all knew what it was, and he was real adamant about letting us know what the end results were going to be. He's very, very humble, and I appreciate that about him.
Yeah, and the film's actually doing quite well. I understand that it cracked the top 15 in home video releases. Have you been a part of any of the marketing or anything like that?
I have been more recently. I wasn't so much this past year because I've been real busy focused in some mm-hmm. other areas, but I have lately started to promote it a bit. I'm really impressed with how many territories it's seen.
Yeah, it's really made an impact out there. What do you think's the reason for that?
The girls. The girls on the cover and a great title.
Well,
I helped with that audition process, and we saw easily 200 girls come
wow.
in, and he really went with, you know, the hottest, most talented girls with a good sense of humor.
Yeah, they do really show off pretty well in that film. And not only girls, but you guys have some cool classic cars in this movie, so it's pretty much anything a guy might want.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely caters to a very specific audience, and that audience is quite large. So.
Yeah. Did you get to drive any of those cars?
I did, yeah. Actually, the DP, the cinematographer, Ryan Brown, is one of my best friends, and he and I took a bunch of pictures sitting in those cars riding around it.
Uh-huh. What was your favorite?
There was this lime green Lamborghini that we had for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
That was probably one of my favorites. Just never seen anything like it.
Well, it sounds
very Vegas.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a heck of a lot of fun. Now, you've been a writer, a director, an actor. If you could choose just one to do, which one would you?
I like directing most.
Yeah.
I feel like as an actor, I'm just kind of a color of paint on the canvas. And with directing, I get to be the painter. And when you're the actor, you have no control over how the film turns out.
And right.
Picked takes that you think are terrible and, you know, yada, yada. But when you're the director, if it's good or bad, you get the credit for it.
Yeah.
I like feeling like that weight is on my shoulders.
Yeah, that's true. And now I asked you about, you know, what being a director, how that influenced you as an actor. What did you take away from this movie? What did you learn doing this movie that's going to help you next time you try to direct a movie?
I really feel like he was focused on the end product the whole time, knowing exactly what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And on the first few films I made, I kind of made them all back to back.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really as focused, and I was kind of going down that road that you and I were talking about earlier with an indie filmmaker thinking I was starting to change the world or
right.
something unique. I don't think the world generally wants unique. I think they want what they want. And as a filmmaker, you got to really figure out who the audience is
mm-hmm.
and cater to them if you
yeah.
want to keep working in this industry. You know, that doesn't mean you have to sell out, but give the people what they want and just do it well.
Exactly. Well, to be entertaining. I mean, that's really what we go to watch a movie for. Yes, we can learn things. Yes, we can have social consciousness and all those things. But if we're not entertained, none of that other stuff is going to sink in anyway.
Exactly. And I've got all kinds of romantic dramedies in my own life, stories that I would like to tell, but that doesn't mean people care. They don't necessarily want to see the stories I want to tell. So I got to figure out what to tell that's going to sell real well and have a good time doing it.
Yeah. And how hard is that? How hard is it to maintain that focus on the end product that, you talk about Nimrod having so much? Is that a difficult thing to do?
I think it is until you kind of have that light switch go off and realize this is how I make movies. Because I've got so many independent filmmaker friends that just keep doing it. They keep making the movies that they want to make, and they don't go anywhere.
Right.
And then here's this guy who came in and said, I'm going to make this movie with a title like this, and a poster like this, and a trailer like this, and I'm going to shoot all the sounds on set that are going to save me money in post-production.
Sure.
I mean, it was completely like building a business. Every movie is on LLC, essentially, and you're starting your own business. And it was really great the way that he kind of had his business goals instead of his creative goals as his top priority.
When you finally saw the finished product, when you finally saw the film, was it pretty much what you expected because he had that focus on that end product?
It was, and you know, if anything, I thought it looked even a little bit slicker because he's really, really talented at post-production with with color correction and design and some stuff like that.
Sure.
So I didn't really know. I mean, typically at this kind of budget level, you don't have things that can look that, you know, that professional, I should say.
Right.
And his stuff is definitely, there's some studio quality work done in post-production.
And of course, the Vegas locations had to have helped that. I assume that a lot of those shots on the streets and stuff were stolen shots. I assume he didn't.
Oh, no.
He
had a permit, and we had a few hours there, and we went up and down the strip. That was a really fun afternoon.
Well, that's got to cut into your budget.
You know, Vegas is not nearly as expensive as people think it is.
Oh.
And if you follow the procedures and do what they ask you to do, they're quite lenient, and it's inefficient, you know, it's efficient.
Yeah. Well, do you think that was always the location? Because the big question I always have for people is that the name of the place is the California Car Wash, but of course it's located in Las Vegas. Was that a running joke on the set, or was that actually something that got changed?
I wish I could answer that. I don't really have a clue, but it's definitely something that I noticed and kind of wondered about, but I don't know.
So you guys didn't talk about that at all on the set that is called this?
I mean, Jack and I might have goofed around talking about it, but I don't think that much thought was put into is this in California or is this in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have to ask you, what else do you have coming up? Tell us what else we're going to see you in.
I wrote a film that we're working on right now. I've got two great producers on board called The Hookup.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a modern-day version of The Graduate.
Ah.
So it's a group of college kids go to spring break in Vegas. Make a bet over who they're going to hook up, you know, who's going to get laid first. And one kid hooks up with a sexy older woman in her 40s, and then she kind of goes fatal attraction on him.
Wow.
And chases him back home and just hunts him down and wants to be with him.
Okay. Are you going to be in it, or are you just the writer here?
I'm just the writer-director.
Okay. That's cool. No, that's cool. And what else are you going to be doing?
I mean, that's my main project right now.
Okay.
I did write one very serious script that kind of strays off from anything I've ever done about the true story of Rudy Eugene, who was kind of the infamous bath salt zombie in Miami a few years ago. And I'd love to make that project. I don't know if I'm the right director for it. It's a very gritty biopic, and I want to make sure that it's got all the right people on board to do the film the justice that I think it deserves.
Well, and you said something very interesting there, and that is, and I think that's rare in this business as well. You wrote something, and as much as you might want to direct it, you're thinking about what's best for the project. Is that hard to do? Is that hard to just give it up to somebody, even though you don't want to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this project is my baby. I researched for Eugene and his family and his friends and the story and the press and everything for a really long time. Put my heart and soul into the script and have for over a year now.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to be an African-American man in the late 90s.
Right.
And so it's going to be really hard for me to identify with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think finding the right people that are also as passionate about the story and the humanity of the character could really help the final product. And I always firmly believe that the only one that's allowed to have an ego on a film set is the film itself.
Right.
When the film has an ego and everybody else around it supports that, then the film can shine.
Well, I think that's a really unique perspective, and I think it shows that there's going to be some extra quality in this sort of thing because you're willing to make those sacrifices.
Definitely. I hope so. I really believe in the project. It's just like any other project, it's a question of dollars and cents,
sure.
Time, and people, and a whole bunch of organizations. So nothing happens overnight.
Yeah. Well, with
although it might look like it.
Yeah, you're right about that. With the success of All American Bikini Car Wash, do you think there's a possibility we might see Vex again?
You know, it's possible. It's possible. I keep saying that I'm going to retire from acting because I've been doing it since I was a little kid, but you never know.
Well, if it got offered, would you do them again?
I probably would for Roddy. He wanted me to do some kind of sci-fi film for him, too. I do enjoy working with him. We've become friends.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
it'd be hard to turn down if it was a quick gig.
Well, he seems to have that effect on the entire cast and crew, so you're not alone in that.
Cool.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and giving us some of your time, especially with all the work you're doing. And we'll look for your future projects. And again, we're out there pushing All American Bikini Car Wash, and hopefully maybe that thing will bust into the top 10 now.
You never know. Thanks so much, Justin. Pleasure talking to you, and I appreciate your time.